excited where God's got us in these end times. Are you ready for the word this morning? Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21. And I'm going to cover some stuff I've covered in the past this morning, but from a little bit different perspective, I believe. In fact, there are times I've read through the Bible, I don't know how many times, and I tend not to read cover to cover, although I'm usually reading cover to cover, but I'm jumping around at the same time. And there are certain times in my life I've read the Bible, and it was like the whole thing changed. Like I was looking at it from a higher level of understanding, and all of a sudden the scriptures were having new meaning. I mean, I remember the first time I read the Bible, and I read the Old Testament, I didn't understand any of it. I mean, it was like, what is this about? I knew it was the Word of God. I knew I was supposed to understand it, but my knowledge of biblical things was so lacking, I couldn't hardly put it together. But now I read, and I usually can comprehend something out of what I'm reading. And I remember when I read, after I learned about, once I learned the revelation of righteousness, that I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I reread the Bible, it was like a whole new book. Amen. When I read righteousness, now I recognize that was God's application of His righteousness on my life. And it changed everything. I realized I am the righteous. I'm not somebody trying to be righteous. I am the righteous. And now those promises that deal with righteousness were all for me. And it changed my life. Well, now that I know we are in the end of the end times, and I'm reading through again, I'm reading passages that I know are end time passages. They may have had an earlier application, but they now still apply to the end times. It's changed the way I'm seeing some of these traditional things I've read. We're going to look at some of these passages this morning, probably for the next few weeks, because I believe things have shifted. They've shifted in the spirit, and we're about to see the natural manifestation of that shift. And things are going to, there's going to be a realignment of some things. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus is talking about the end times. And if I go to verse 25, and he says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." You know, it's kind of interesting. Jesus was talking about distress in the nations. He wrote at a time there was no satellite television. You follow me? There were no phones. There were no way to transmit information except by foot or by boat. Now, see, you didn't know what was going on in other nations. You may have heard, you know, months later, hey, there was some type of, you know, war over this area, or, you know, some nation was taken over here. You would hear it, but not real time like we do today. And now we hear distress of nations instantaneously. And we're in a time you can turn on any news channel and see how much uproar there is in the world right now. How much saber rattling that is going on. How much there are nations right now that are threatening to destroy us and to destroy Israel. I mean, nations right now are openly saying, we want to wipe Israel off the map. And whether we want to receive it or not, we've been infiltrated already through these open borders. Amen. And we will see some manifestation of that. Unless we pray, it can shut it down. So he says, distress of nations. Verse 26, men's hearts failing them. For fear. Aren't you glad your heart doesn't have to fail? We don't have to fear. But men's hearts will be, in the, you know, that are connected to the world. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, I don't believe this is talking about God's throne being shaken. I believe it's talking about the demonic powers, those of the second heaven. They're going to be shaken. Amen. But understand also, leaders in the church are powers of heaven. there's going to be a shaking that's going to come down, and it's going to affect the church. I want to talk this morning about the shaking that I believe is on the horizon. Oh, I forgot to bring my teaching example this morning. I was going to use Patrick or Oliver for a teaching example. I've got some tool pouches at home. Of course, they'd be too big for them. I'd have to gird it up. And I was going to take them and put my tool pouches, got pouches all around it, and fill the pouches with change. They'd like that one, wouldn't they? And then grab them by the ankles, flip them upside down, and shake them, and watch all the change hit the floor. Of course, I give them whatever hit the floor, you follow me, they had. Making the point so you can envision it, right? Do I need to get one and shake them a little bit just to show you? Grace is going, yeah. That'd be the highlight of their day. Pastor shook me. We'd have 14 kids. We don't have that many in here. Me next. And so we know that God has a plan to unseat the wicked in the end times, to elevate his church, even to invert finances from the hands of the wicked to the righteous. But they're not going to give it up without somebody flipping things upside down and shaking it out of them. And God said, there's a shaking coming. I believe it. I am convinced of it. There's a shaking coming. Now, we don't have to fear. We're going to be on the boat. But things are going to be shaken to force change. Something's going to happen to force change, and God is a master at forcing change. He's a master of suddenlies, of immediatelies. He's a God of looking like, of letting the enemy think he's won one moment and absolutely nailing the answer to the cross the next moment, turning everything right side up. He knows how to get his people in the right position and bring them into the blessing that is prophesied there to receive. And we're prophesied to be blessed. Amen. You are the head and not the tail. Above only and never beneath, right? I may have felt those sometimes, like you were being stepped on by every devil in hell. Well, that means something's got to shift. If you felt like you were under and not on top, something's got to change. And I believe God has shown us in Scripture, we're going to see it again this morning, that many times to bring the change He wants, shaking is required. Amen. Now understand, the Scripture says, woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. It's a day of darkness, not of light. So I'm not looking forward to shaking. I wish there was another way. Yes. You follow me? I don't have to be stretched like that. But I know these things are going to happen, because God is going to bring the glory into a place filled with gross darkness. And that alone will cause a shaking. Thunderstorms, lightning is caused by clouds of different charging coming together, different atmospheric chargings contacting, and a voltage transfer takes place, and we have a lightning bolt. Is that a good enough explanation, Tim? Amen. There's a clash in the heavenlies, a difference in electrical charge, and it produces lightning bolts, which carry massive amounts of power. What do you think is going to happen when Satan's cloud of gross darkness comes into contact with God's cloud of the glory? Do you think things aren't going to shift? You think there's not going to be tornadoes of upheaval take place? Things are going to, things in the natural order of regular life are going to be totally altered. Do you see this? Well, I don't believe all that. I hope it doesn't happen like that. I hope there's a peaceable transfer of power. I hope the wicked come up and say, you know, we recognize we've been wrong. And I know I've been lying to Congress, and I know we've deceived you through the media, and we understand that, you know, we've really conned the American people and the world, and we repent. We feel bad. Here, Why don't you be president? Here's our money, just to show we're sincere about what we're saying. I hope it's like that. But nowhere in Scripture do we see that. Nowhere in history do we have an account of that. It's always taken some type of confrontation, some type of a genuine act of God versus what, you know, the insurance companies want to call an act of God. Verse 27, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." My goodness, the glorious following, a shaking. Do you see this? Men's hearts failing them for fear. The powers of heaven being shaken. The glory is following that. Now, had we seen this before? I don't know if I've seen it quite in that context, but there it is. Amen. And listen, I know we see that we talk about the Son of Man coming in a cloud. That's the second coming, right? And I believe this applies to the second coming. But I believe there's a place where they see the Son of Man coming as the church rises up, if I can throw that in. And we know the glory is coming. And when those things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Your rescue. Not just your rescue, but your turnaround. Your redemption, your total restoration. And I want to go on over, well, go to verse 33. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." These things are going to happen. Then he says in verse 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart should be overcharged with surfeiting." Now, surfeiting represents a headache from alcohol abuse. Amen? Now, I don't think we have a problem in here with that, hopefully. Right? But he goes on and he says, "And drunkenness and cares of this life." See, we tend to say, well, that surfeiting doesn't apply to me. Drunkenness doesn't apply to me. But how about cares of this life? We could just easily plug in there, getting caught up in focus on the world's activities. Do you follow me? Getting weighed down by the responsibilities of life. Not living as an overcomer, but underachieving what the kingdom of God has offered us. So he says, be careful that day doesn't... Well, let me read it again. "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be caught up in these." Verse, or the bottom of the verse, "And so that day come upon you unawares." As I was praying over this morning, I'm going, God, I've talked on shaking. A lot of people don't even believe that there's going to be a shift or a shake. A lot of people don't even believe the glory's coming. And it was like I had an assignment given to keep bringing it up, lest people be caught unawares. And the word that came to me was unawares. I had to get my Bible. I go to look it up where it was, and didn't even realize this. And the verse dealing with shaking, which is what we're talking about this morning, or in the passage. God does not want us unaware of what's coming, because if you're unaware, you'll be unprepared. Yep. Well, Pastor, what do? Do we stockpile food and water, guns and ammo? Well, you can if you want to. I believe it's probably smart to have some extra food on hand. And definitely I believe it's smart to have you a firearm. I don't believe you should talk about that from the pulpit. We've been discovering, in fact, I forgot to announce it, but Sunday nights we're going through David Barton's series on the foundational roots of this country, the Christian foundational roots of this country. And Tom had mentioned it before, but he brought out last week the black coats. Pastors were the militia leaders during the Revolution. And you could recognize them by the black coat they wore. So don't say a pastor shouldn't be talking about these kind of things. It's mandatory they speak about these kind of things. So you want to get some food? you know, I've got a bag of beans at the house, pretty big size bag of beans. I got at Sam's, bag of flour. We can go for a few days, right? Well, I can't. I don't know how long Patty can eat beans. And well, we make bread. She's good forever. So flour, get her through. I'll eat the beans. You'll eat the flour. We'll be good. And you guys gave me a gun for Pastor Appreciation about 5 years or so ago. So I'm set there, but that's really not what I'm talking about, being unawares or being prepared. I'm talking about being prepared spiritually. See, if I don't let you know of potential shaking, you may say, well, I can pray or not pray, or I can get the word or not word or not, or I can learn faith or not learn it. I'm telling you, there's coming a day you're going to need to know faith. You will need to know how to stand on the word of God and say, yes, God will supply. Yes, God will protect me. I mean, I believe that. I really believe Christianity is right now walking oblivious to what lies before. I'm talking about the whole of Christianity. But God's got some that He's alerting to what's going to take place. And I feel I have a responsibility to let you know what I think is coming. And you don't have to look at much of the news to see it on the horizon. Yeah. Can I give you an example of something? In our race for president now, one of the big things that's been discussed lately is Social Security. And I know Donald Trump called Social Security the biggest Ponzi scheme ever concocted. Originally, when they started Social Security, the money was supposed to be set aside and never touched. Well, when politicians realized there's that much money over there, they couldn't stand it, and they touched it. And so now when they talk about a Social Security fund, there really is none. What they do is they take the money that's being paid in now to pay the people that are collecting now. Do you follow me? So there is no big Social Security fund there to pay everybody's future demands. And that's what a Ponzi scheme is. A Ponzi scheme gets people to invest, and they take new money being invested to pay people already invested, and they're dependent upon new investors to keep paying the old people. And there's really not anything producing the income. And it's illegal, and you go to jail for it. Bernie Maddox was involved in a big Ponzi scheme, but didn't touch the level of Social Security. And we're about to see the baby boomers. They're now reaching Social Security age. In fact, many are now in it. And you can mathematically project the money needed to make their Social Security payments. And look what's coming in and say, it will not match. So what they say, well, we'll just tax more. What's that? What'd you say? Demographic. Yeah, we're reducing in population, yet the baby boomers are of coming of age. There's no way to pay it. You would have to be totally have your head in the sand to think this can go on like it is. There is no way Social Security stays as it is. Can't. Something's got to shift. But what happens, people are going through their daily lives, even now, young people. Now, see, I have some hope maybe mine will be paid. I don't expect to collect for another 8 years. But maybe it'll be some there for me. I don't know. I can collect in 3 years, 2.5 years, but I'm going to wait 8. It's my plan. And we'll see if I shift. If I see it's about to collapse, I may go and get in on it now, you know, whatever. It's kind of like, what do you do? Been paying into it for 40 years, you know. And so, 40 plus years, you have to have your head in the sand. Especially as a young person, to be projecting, oh yeah, I can depend on Social Security when I get old. It's not going to be there. If you're young, it's not going to be there, not like it is. Can't be. Something's going to shift. Yet politicians will get up and say, they're trying to take your Social Security. No, they're trying to protect it. Because if nothing's done, it won't be there. Something's got to be changed. Are you following me on this? Well, in the same way, if you look at the world, and you got Iran with nukes, developing, North Korea developing nukes, they want to destroy America. Russia's saber rattling. My goodness. Chaos around the world. And we go, well, I just think there'll be peace and safety in the world. You are in a dream. What's the debt now up to? $19 trillion? $19 trillion! Well, I just, and the stock market right now, it looks like it's running high, but it's because they pumped all this money into it to keep it up, to make things look good. Plus, actually, the economy is growing so slowly, the interest rate is zero. So, it's inflated that entire market. One shift, and that stock market collapses. It's just going to take one domino being hit, and everything changes. Well, I just think things will be wonderful forever. Not going to happen. And so, so many people right now are caught up in this illusion of continuity of the level of life they have, that they're going to be caught unawares. I'm telling you what, there's coming a day we're going to need to know how to use our faith. Best to practice now while you can. Go to Psalm 18. I have taught on Psalm 18 many, many times. But again, I was reading it this morning, and it was taken on a whole additional light. Not new light, I mean different light, but new light. In fact, go down to verse number 7. We're going to read through it again in a minute. Well, go to verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. There's coming a time, actually right now, that God's people are calling on Him. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even unto His ears. Now here, this is a psalm of David. This is the same David that slew Goliath. This is King David. Talks about when he was in distress, he called upon the Lord. And look what happened when God's people were being persecuted. Look what happened. Verse 7. And then rainbows filled the sky, and Skittles rained upon the earth. And everybody just had peace and safety because we elected the right president. Is this okay with you this morning? Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken. Now, it didn't say the foundations of the earth. It said foundations of the hills. I believe he's talking about these people that set themselves up as if they're a mountain. And God calls them a hill. There have been prophecies that have come forth, that God's going to put down the 7 mind-molding mountains that control world policies today. He's going to shut it down. And here God calls them hills. The foundations of the hills were shook and shaken because He was wroth. Do you see this? So we see God has a habit here of when God's people are being persecuted. And I'm going to tell you again right now, I don't believe, unless we see revival hit now in America, and I'm believing for it, but unless we do, we haven't seen even touched on the level of persecution they're going to bring against the church. Again, Wednesday, we had an individual visit our pastor's meeting with Kentucky, I forget what coalition. But he has a Christian-based organization that lobbies the state of Kentucky in Frankfort to implement Christian moral principles. And he said, even now, morality in our states and even in Kentucky is being bombarded. They're telling pastors they cannot preach against homosexuality. They are demanding if a homosexual wants to come into your church and rent it, if you rent it to anybody, you have to rent it to them. Otherwise, it's discrimination. Well, this is an abomination to God. But that's just touching on the tip of the iceberg of what the enemy wants to do. There are leaders in government right now, one running for president that wants to shut down the church. Hates it vehemently. So we see here, there's a process by when God's people are persecuted, God is anchored and the foundations are shaken. Do you see this? Well, Pastor Jack, that was David writing about his time and what took place in his situation. Well, we're going to read through this psalm in a minute, but I want you to go over to verse 50, the last verse in the psalm. We'll read verse 49. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Now, I like that. He says, I'm going to give thanks to God among the heathen. This stuff about wanting to stay in the corner and hide our Christianity is not of God. Well, I wouldn't want anybody to see me pray in public. I pray in tongues in public. Horakarabasataki in Jesus' name. I figure the thing, I'm just one of those guys that came over the border and they don't know the language. I mean, what's the big deal, right? I don't think we should be any way trying to hide or be ashamed of our Christianity covering. I believe we should be openly, blatantly declaring the kingdom of God and its blessing. But look at verse 50. Great deliverance giveth he to his king. Now, are you a king in the kingdom of God? Yeah, we're kings and priests, right? Great deliverance give he to the king, his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed. Are you anointed? Amen. Look at this. To David and to his seed forevermore. Are you of the seed of Abraham? Amen. We are this seed. And God, I believe, intentionally put in there forevermore. So when we see God's M.O. is when his people are persecuted and they pray, he's anchored and things shake, we know this can be now applied to forevermore. Is this okay with you? And now we just converted Psalm 18 to an end time psalm. Now I believe they're all end time psalms. But I believe now we can see and hear how God intends to move. So let's read this starting from verse 1. And let's see if it happened to David here and it's to him and forevermore, we can possibly expect this to happen to us and we won't be caught unawares. I refuse to be like an ostrich and put my head in the sand. I refuse to think, well, I've only got so many years to live. Hopefully we'll be okay through my life and, you know, let's have fun. We're on assignment. God's got some stuff for us to accomplish. And not just survive, but to thrive. Verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my motorboat. I'm sorry, and my deliverer. That's the motorboat aspects of God. Amen. He's the original vroom, vroom, vroom. Must be Geek Conference stuff still coming out, right? He is my deliverer, my God, my God, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, that's another shield, and the horn of my salvation and my high power. Now, the horn usually represents a form of power. He's the power that brings us salvation. And he's my high tower. He's my water tower also. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Praise stills the avenger. Praise brings victory. Praise says, I believe God's word above my situation. Praise says, I will not be oppressed. I refuse to stay down. My answer to most people that come up and say, Pastor Jack, I'm in this situation. I can't hardly take anymore. And my answer is always, praise. Somebody may get upset when I say this. But you cannot declare you're in faith for something when you're whining. Genuine faith for an answer always produces praise. Well, I just don't know, things aren't working, but I believe in God. No, you're not. No, you're not. You want to believe God. You said you believe God, but that whining lets me know you're not in faith for what God has said. I preached this message once before, but faith has a look. I know the faith look. I know it in prayer life. Somebody comes and it looked kind of like Clint Eastwood. I'm in the air. Clint Eastwood, he goes, make my day. And that's the attitude, devil, make my day. You wanna say something to me, devil? Come on, bring it on. Now don't invite him, you follow me? But you don't fear him.
That's right.
My mother used to have a t-shirt. Understand, we weren't in church. And maybe a little bit even antagonistic towards some things of Christianity. Way back, before we were saved, this had been back in the 70s, early 70s. She had a shirt that quoted Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Right? And then it says, because I'm the baddest whatever in the valley. Anybody remember those shirts? Anybody have that shirt? It said, because I'm the baddest whatever in, you know, not like they speak today, but, you know, tough guy in the valley. Well, we need to have that attitude. Through God, we're bad in a good way. We're good bad. Amen. I need to move on. The devil, if you know who you are, doesn't want to mess with you. I believe it's like, you know, here you are and you're going into your prayer place, you're ready to do spiritual warfare, and the devil knows he's got to attack you. He's got these imps, he's pushing them out there saying, you're next. No, 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 not me. The devil's having to be pushed out. Little demons having to be pushed out to attack you. Because they know the word you're going to speak is going to cause them havoc. Amen. Through God. Verse 3, however, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Now see, the enemy always starts off with fear. It always brings a threat of death, to produce fear. You're going to die, you better whine. And here we see David's in a place where he, and listen, if you've been in faith for long, you've had these times where your faith is stretched to the edge, if not beyond. It looks totally beyond you. You know, when you face soaring and it's something, you know, you can deal with, it's like, come on, God, me and you got this. But there's times it's like, God, I need you now. Amen. Verse 5, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. Now, there's a good clue for us. I don't know if we'll get through this psalm this morning or not, but we'll take a running stab at it. The sorrows of hell. Sorrow is from hell. Now, there's a godly sorrow, the Bible says, right? Which produces repentance. That means you did something wrong, and you feel bad about it. And it'll cause you to stop doing that, right? To turn away from it. But the sorrow that people carry of perpetual... Now, I know if you've lost a loved one, you've lost whatever. I mean, some people, their goldfish die, and they're in the pit for 3 days. Amen? I'm one flush from just a brand new start. Patty, every animal we've ever lost, she cried one time for 2 weeks over a hamster. And I understand there's a sorrow when you lose something. You follow me? And we won't talk about the football game last night. Uh-oh. That was almost the unforgivable sin right there now. She's celebrating over Tennessee losing is what it was, because her team won. Get her, Jana, get her. Phenomenal game. Anyway, there's a sorrow from a temporary loss that we're meant to come out of. But I've met people that sorrow all the time. They live in sorrow. And it almost always has a root of fear behind it. It's always got some kind of fear bolstering that sorrow. Well, it just never worked right for me. And what if I relapse? What if I go back? What if you know, somebody else hates me? What if, you know, my puppy bites me? And then people have had abuse in their background and carry the spirit of sorrow. And you can tell them about God and tell them how good God is. They go, oh, I know. But this is my life. It's from hell. Yeah. And you need to kick that sorrow out of your life. Yeah. Faith rejoices. Yeah. Fear cries. Yeah. You're just too hard, Pastor Jack. Hey, I don't want you caught unawares. You can cry all the way to the shaking, and you're shaking with it, or I can teach you how to laugh your way through it, come out of it by faith, even though you still feel bad, you laugh your way through speaking the Word of God and watch God rescue you from it. Yeah. Yeah. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Verse 7 again. Then the earth shook and trembled. God will shake the earth to rescue his people. He'll shake the earth just to rescue you. If we are in faith, not unawares, not being built up. The foundations also, the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. Verse 8. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. Now, what do you suppose Almighty Creator God could do if he gets upset? And he's upset in your defense. I would not be the one that touched you. I would not want to be guilty of touching the anointed or doing his prophets any harm. Amen. I don't want to be guilty of rising up against his representatives. Or attacking his anointed. He bowed the heavens also. Uh-oh. He's going to shift the fabric of the heavenly creation. He's bowing the heavens. And came down. Now look at this. Look at this. Remember Isaiah 60? Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but his glory shall be seen upon thee. Remember the gross darkness teachings we've done? And God's glory cloud versus the devil's demonic gross darkness cloud? Look at this. He bowed the heavens also, verse 9, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. God has a plan for this cloud of darkness in the end times. It's been trying to come upon you. See, I'm telling you, you've got to guard yourself right now in this situation we're in, with all this, all these elections going, you know, all the politicking going on, and the lies being told, and the half-truths being told, and even the truths are bad enough. And you got to guard it doesn't get down inside of you. Because I'm watching people that one time seemed rational, all of a sudden now we're just getting carried away with this mess. And I've told Patty, I don't want to see any more of it through the rest of the election. Just a piece here and there to know what's going on. But I can't afford that to get down inside of me. I got too much at stake for me to get angry at the lies being told, or, you know, the media's. I listen to talk radio, not all the time, but some of the time. And I've noticed here lately on the channels I'm listening to talk radio on that it'll be conservative in content until the news comes on. You'll say, this is ABC News at 12 or 11 or whatever. And every news report locally is attacking our governor. They are so angry a Christian as governor of Kentucky. And even when they're talking about the election, it's like, Hillary's done this great thing and Trump's a clown. And I have to watch getting mad over that. Because they're not even trying to be objective. So I've got to just turn it off. I was working on my Droideka destroyer droid Friday. And I had to cut a bunch of metal. Now I'm the only one on my street. I'm pretty sure. Maybe the only one in the state. And I'm having to cut metal because I built it out of all steel. And so I've got my grinders, my cutoff things, and I've got a 10-inch saw with a metal cutting blade on. I'm cutting, and I'm putting out fire. I mean, it's cutting, sparks are going everywhere. And half the time they're coming on me. And so I wore, you know, a short-sleeve shirt. Somebody said, why didn't you wear a long-sleeve shirt? I said, because they catch fire. Sparks will bounce off of me, but the shirts catch fire.
Right.
Don't ask me how I know. I've put myself out many times. I'd come in and I'd have holes burnt in my pants here and there from my pants catching fire. Welding or something else and sparks going. So I'm cutting all this metal and sparks are flying all over me. I've got safety glasses on, flying in my face, my hair, everything else. And that night, man, my arm started itching. I mean, it was a horrible itching from, I guess, all the metal particles that just burnt in. And, I mean, I've done all my life. Is it itching? And you're wondering where I'm going with this story, right? It's impossible to to be in the midst of the fire and the sparks flying and not have them embed in you. I got little burns all over from welding sparks flying out because I almost never weld with gloves. I'd have to go hunt them down. That would take me too long. And so you can't be in the midst of that and not get burnt. You can't be in the midst of a gross cloud of darkness and not have it permeate you if you sit in it too long. Yep. So I want to keep up what's going on. I want to know, be knowledgeable of the things. But you watch it long enough and it'll make you mad. In fact, it'll produce rage and anger in you. Yeah. It will cause you to hate people. Yep. And I'm watching hateful posts right now. I read one the other day, a pastor posted. And it was all about hating conservatives. And I hope they're miserable after the election. I hope we get to dance on their graves, basically. This is the most hateful post I've ever seen. And pastors were posting it and liking it and commenting on it. I can't go there. I can't hate anybody. I can't afford to hate anybody. How do you walk in love if you hate? The Bible says it's impossible to walk in love if you hate your brother. And the glory is the manifestation of tangible love. So we've got to be careful not to be unawares and get caught up in this. Just get in the shower, sing you some songs, and take you a Holy Ghost attitude cleansing shower. Say, God, I was a mess myself one day. I turn it over to you. And go vote how you believe you're supposed to vote. Amen. And pray and turn the rest over to God. Again, I did a flowchart a few weeks ago on Thursday night where we showed no matter who's elected, until revival takes place, things are going to shift. Prayer is the key. And I believe it makes a major difference who's going to be elected. I really do believe that. Especially regarding the persecution on the church. Mm-hmm. The moral standing of the nation. But regardless, until revival hits, that gross cloud of darkness is not going anywhere. Amen. The devil doesn't give up territory until he's made to give up territory. So it says, and darkness was under his feet. You ready for this? We're the church, right? Talking about Christianity, we're the church. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. We're the rest of the body. So if darkness is under the feet of Jesus, and we're the body, that means the devil is under the least of us. God intends to put darkness totally off of the body. It's not crawling up the ankles, up to the knees, to the hips. It's under the feet. Now, we always think of under the feet meaning having dominion over. We've put it down. But I'm talking about we've cleansed ourselves of it. It's beneath us to go there. If it's under my feet, it's beneath me. It's beneath me to hate. It's beneath me to be caught up in this indignation the enemy would try to get us into. It's beneath me to fear and to sorrow. It's under my feet. Verse 10. We've not made it very far, have we? And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion around about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Darkness all around. Verse 12, at the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed. The glory is going to disperse the darkness. Hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens. Oh, there's our thunder. That must have been a prophetic teaching before, right? But the clouds. And the highest gave his voice. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, when E.F. Hutton speaks, these say people listen. How about God thundering? Have you been like me in the past where people have doubted God and doubted the power of God and the reality of God? And you say, God, just show yourself. Just show yourself. Say something. Show them. Give them a sign nobody can doubt. Appear in the sky. Do something. But shut down this unbelief. Well, in this case, when the gross darkness comes in, when God's people are being persecuted, but they're in intercession, it says, not only does he arise off the throne. I mean, we'd be satisfied a lot of times with God, just stand up. Just stand up, God. It says he comes off the throne. He bows the heavens. He comes to earth. And then he thundered. And God spoke. When God speaks, we're going to get what we've been believing for. God's going to show himself off. Yes. But many aren't going to like the results. Amen? Right. God intends to speak. He has a plan and he's in times. He's going to have his say. You know, when we're in our pastor's meetings and we'll get into discussions, even debates over different doctrinal things. You know, what do you think about that? Well, I believe this. Well, I believe this over there. And, you know, we'll be discussing. And all of a sudden, after some time, Apostle Callan will speak. And you know what happens? Everybody shuts up. Yes, sir. What do you have to say on the matter? We want to hear what he's got to say. Plus, we respect him to the place where, you know, we might tell each other in GS, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. We're not going to say that to him. And, amen. What about when God speaks? You think he won't have people's attention? You think when he speaks, the things that take place won't cause everybody to recognize maybe they were wrong? Or many anyway? The highest and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Verse 14. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. I was reading the other day about, in fact, we talked about it last week about Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat made a covenant with Ahab to go to war with Ahab. Well, during that battle, Ahab had a plan. He says, why don't you dress up like you're me? Because they want to kill me. What was Jehoshaphat thinking anyway in that one? What was he thinking? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. Oh, that's a great plan. You know darkness had to have an effect on him at that moment. I wouldn't want to walk out in public with a Trump Halloween mask on right now. Amen. Somebody may confuse you. Is he going to get off his election stuff? Probably not. Not until after the 8th. But we'll still probably be on it. Jehoshaphat dresses up like Ahab and they come after him. And they're about to kill Jehoshaphat and they recognize that's not Ahab. So Jehoshaphat gets away, and it says, and one, it just says, and one in Scripture, drew back his bow and fired an arrow by chance or just shot it into the air. And Ahab was dressed like a soldier in a chariot, fleeing the battle. And it says, an arrow hit Ahab, basically between his shoulder blades, end up killing him. If God can have an arrow accidentally fired, randomly fired, hit the main target, it was prophesied Ahab would die in that battle. If he can have that random arrow hit him, What do you think will happen when God actually fires arrows? You talk about pinpoint bombing. Pinpoint shaking, collapse, alterations, attention-getting activities. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered. At thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of thy breath, at the breath of thy nostrils. Now, a lot of times we read over these verses, but I want to look at it now with what we know. And here's one possible, I believe, interpretation. Then the channels where waters were seen. God's got a river. And in Ezekiel 47, it talks about the waters become risen waters to swim in. And this is waters that could not be ignored. This end time move is going to result in the waters of God, the channels of water, the river of God, rising to such a level that it cannot be ignored anymore. And guess what? We're going to be in the river. Now, before it says he shook the foundations of the hills. See, the foundations of the hills, I believe, represent government systems, world leaders, economic systems, educational systems, media outlets. Those are foundations of the hills. You follow me on that? But God says when he moves and arrows are shot, we'll see the foundations of the world. Ooh, they're going to see what the real foundation is. They're going to see who's really the foundation of all power and might. And they'll be looking at the church to see this. They were discovered, that rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of the nostrils. Verse 16, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. God's going to rescue us. When the river's collapsing, talking about the natural river, God's going to rescue us. He has a plan. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. God has a habit of rescuing his people when the battle's too great for them alone. Amen. And guess what? With one angel, he killed 185,000 Syrians. God's not limited in power to rescue us. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He kept me afloat. He kept me above the water. He brought me forth also into a large place. That's promotion. Have you ever lived in a little house or a little apartment? God's bringing you into a big one. He's bringing you into a largeness. We had we're changing the alarm system here at the church to match our new phone line. Soon we stay in this building. And I said, why don't you come and give me a quote for my house? So we had a lady over Friday morning to look at our house for a possible alarm system. And they got some neat stuff out there now. I mean, you can open and close your garage doors. And you can put a camera on your doorbell. So you see this wide range thing. And you can look at it from your iPad anywhere in the world where you got what, where you got signal. Who's ringing my doorbell? So she came over and the subject of our man cave came up. And she said her boyfriend had a man cave. And that sometimes he says he's got to have man time, away time. I said, I don't have many man time, away time. I don't want that. There's times I go up and study, but I said, I don't want man time. And she was like incredulous. Why would you have a man cave if you don't want man time? And I explained to Pat afterwards. I said, I don't want man time. The reason I have a man cave is you didn't like all my stuff in the house. She said, you got too much stuff. I said, give me one room I can put it in. That became the man cave. It's just where I put my stuff. Everything else is her decorations. Except I'm going to let her use the battle droid. We'll put it on her side of the bed. She's got room over there. She's wanting more light on that side anyway. I better move on, hadn't I? God's bringing us into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. Now let's go one more verse. Verse 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. God is rewarding us based on our knowledge of who we are in Christ. That we are the righteousness of God in Christ, of God in Him, right? This again brings this psalm into focus as an end time psalm. Because I want to tell you, we are the first generation ever in all of history to recognize we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Paul recognized it, but the people didn't. You follow me? Peter didn't even recognize it during his time. He said the things Paul writes which are hard to be understood. We have been made new creations in Christ and have been made as righteous as Jesus spiritually. And that positions us for all the rights to the things of the kingdom, including protection and blessing. And God's raising up an end-time church that knows this, that steps into it, and is able to put darkness under their feet. This anger that's rising up, and understand, it angers me to hear people getting away with stuff that they should be in prison for, when anybody else would be. But I've got to maintain the mentality, I'm the righteous God, and it's beneath me to let it settle down inside of me. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. And if it settles inside of you, it's going to produce sin. Amen? The devil wants to convert a righteous indignation or an anger that, you know, is normal to experience and convert it to rage or hate. The point of this message this morning, and I expect we'll probably continue it next week. In fact, I've got enough notes we can continue it for probably 6 months. Not saying we'll do that, but there's enough in Scripture. I'm going to passages about shaking all through the Word, and if you read it, you'll find us in end-time context. I don't want any of us caught unawares and unprepared. Don't let the cares of this life steal your time from staying filled with God, having a strong spiritual momentum, and moving forward in faith. If we'll do those things, no devil in hell can stop us and maintain our unity, right? Did you get anything out of this today? Father, seal the word in us. Cause to be end-time representatives of the kingdom. Cause to be those that resist the darkness, walk in the light. And I thank you, Father, no matter what arises, you are our deliverers. I thank you in Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. If you need special prayer for anything, I'll be up here to pray with you. Otherwise.